Now, most of you couldn't hear that presentation, which I'm going to just, you know, I'll do it live next time. But Yahshua said in Luke 23:33 and 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's human nature to want to repay evil for evil, brethren, if someone does something to you. But Yahshua was not displaying human nature. He was displaying a spiritual nature of forgiveness. And this is the key to forgiveness, part two. He was showing love to his enemies who sought his life. We likewise must put on a spiritual nature that truly comes from Yahweh's Holy Spirit and not respond in a carnal nature like the people of this world. Now, in Luke 23:33 and 34, okay. And when they came to the place which is called the skull, there they impaled him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Yahshua said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And parting his garments among them, they cast lots. So they proceeded in just treating him like a criminal. And, you know, you had these two men that were impaled to his right and left. And they, the one saw and got it. The other one did not, because he mocked Yahshua just like the Romans did. But see, Yahshua overcame evil with good. And that's something that we have to be able to do. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we start in verse 17. It says, render to no man evil for evil. Take thought for the things honorable in the sight of all men. So, take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as in you lies, be at peace with all men. Avenge not yourself, beloved, but give place to the wrath of Elohim. For it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says Yahweh. But if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him to drink. For in so much doing, you shall heap coals of fire upon his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And we see in the passage that Yahshua did that. He elevated himself above carnal nature of man, because he didn't hate those people that were putting him to death. No, Yahshua showed love to him by asking his Father to forgive them. Now, how many of us can do that? It takes a very special type of person to be able to do that. Because when you're being physically attacked or killed or hurt, it's very, very difficult for you to want to forgive the person that's doing the hurting. See? That's not human nature. That's why we have to take our nature to the next level. We have to overcome evil with good, see? And this is what Yahshua wants us to do. No one has ever done anything so bad that they cannot be forgiven except for the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And we went over this last week, but we're going to do it again this week. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. That's Matthew chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 30 through 37. He that is not with me is against me, And he that gathers not with me scatters. So we have many people out here that believe that they believe the same thing, that they worship Yahweh just because they use his name. But see, I've placed this in the same category with the demons. The demons know and they believe and they fear Yahweh, but they don't obey him. You understand? They fear him, but they don't obey him. They don't fear him with the right type of fear. Because even Yahshua, you know, told them to keep their mouths shut because when he was casting them out, they wanted to state the Holy One, you Holy One of Israel, you know, and Yahshua wanted to keep their mouths shut because he didn't want, you know, the people believing the demons, even though he was Yahshua's son. But he wanted them to come to that realization on their own. They had to believe it themselves, you know, and seeing the works that he did. And it was very difficult because those people who saw the works of Yahshua manifested before their eyes, the miracles he did, and all of what he did, even in the end, in saying, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do," they did not believe. They did not accept him. The ones that did, yes, they received the blessing. But the majority of the people did not accept Yahshua's testimony. Back to Matthew 12. Therefore, in verse 31, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven to men. Every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven to men. But the blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. So he's given us the distinction. He said all sin and blasphemy can be forgiven. No one has ever done anything so bad that they cannot be forgiven except the blasphemy of the Spirit. And what we want to do is make sure we don't do that. And whoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in that which is to come. And this is the one that we want to be in, that which is to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or either make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. You offspring of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? He's speaking to the Pharisees who said that he was of the devil. So they were speaking against the Holy Spirit. See? Because they called him the prince of Beelzebub. And we know that that was a demon. And they called him like a prince of the demons. Yet we know that Yahshua was from Yahweh, as many of them knew. So why would they blaspheme? Because they knew. Nicodemus came and said that they knew that he was from Yahweh. So why would they blaspheme? Because they were of the devil. Even though they were the religious authority of that day, they were of the devil. So this is why you have to make that distinction and understand who is for Yahweh and who is not. Verse 35, it says, "The good man out of his good treasure brings forth good things. And the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth evil things. And I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." So that's why it's important, brethren, for us to ask Yahweh's forgiveness. And like Yahshua did when he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. We have to be like Yahshua, going up to that spiritual level, asking Yahweh to forgive them, for they know not what they do when they do the same to us. In Luke chapter 11, turn with me there. Luke 11. We're going to start in verse 1. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, that when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Rabbi, teach us to pray, even as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Make holy your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Not this fast. Your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and bring us not into temptation. There's a companion passage of that over in Matthew 6. We want to turn over there and continue. It's Matthew 6, verse 8. Be not therefore like them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. And after this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. As in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So that's pretty simple, brethren. But why is it seems it's so difficult to implement? Okay? Because too often we don't want to forgive the people who have hurt us. You know, there's a bitterness there that, you know, we need to get rid of. And the only way you can get rid of that is through forgiveness. And trust me, you have to forgive. Because if you don't, that bitterness will never leave. And that bitterness will grow. And that bitterness will cause your spiritual death. That's why forgiveness, the key is forgiveness. Because once you understand how it works, it goes hand in hand with love. Loving your enemy, loving your neighbor. Forgiveness, you have to love that person, okay, to forgive them. People say, well, no, I don't have to love everybody. The scripture tells you, you do. You really do. You have to love your enemy. You have to love your neighbor. You have to love, you know, the people who are doing these negative things to you. And I know it's difficult, but it's not impossible. Because with Yahweh, there's nothing impossible. So what we have to do, you know, because all of us want to be forgiven. But many of us carry grudges for years and we expect Almighty Yahweh to forgive us when we haven't forgiven others. than that we can't do. We cannot be hypocrites, brethren. And that's basically what that is. It's not going to happen. If we want to be forgiven, we have to learn to forgive. Luke chapter 22. And we're going to look at verses 24. There arose a contention among them, which of them was accounted to be the greatest. And these are the disciples, the followers of Yahshua, who were walking with him. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles have rulership over them, and they that have authority over them are called benefactors. You shall not be so, but he that is greater among you, let him become the younger, as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that does serve. For which is greater, he that sits at meat, or he that serves? Is it not he that sits at meat? But I am among you as he that serves. And this is the example Yahshua has given us, as a servant, which he showed when he washed the disciples' feet as well, in John 13. But you are they that have continued with me in my temptation. And I appoint you to you a kingdom. I appoint to you a kingdom, even as my Father appointed to me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you shall sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And he's talking to the disciples who were, you know, arguing over who's the greatest. Verse 31, it says, Simon, Simon, and this is Peter, behold, Satan asked to have you, that he might sift you as wheat, but I've made supplication for you, that your faith fail not. And do you, when once you have turned again, establish your brethren. In other words, Yahshua's telling Peter right here, you're going to fail. But once you've turned again, you know, establish your brethren. You're going to be the leader. You establish your brethren. And he said to him, Rabbi, with you I am ready to go forth to prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day until you shall three times deny that you know me. Very important. Verse 35. And he said to them, when I send you forth without purse and without wallet and shoes, lack you anything? And they said, nothing. And he said to them, but now he that has a purse, let him take it, and likewise a wallet. And he that has none, let him sell his cloak and buy a sword. For I say to you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me. And he was reckoned with transgressors, for that which concerns me has fulfillment. And they said, Master, behold, there are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. Yahshua was showing them what was about to happen. And he came out in verse 39 and went, as his custom was, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was parted from them about a stone's cast, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So he respected Yahweh's will. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood falling down upon the ground. And when he rose up from his prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray that you enter not into temptation." Because temptation is always going to be about, brethren. It's going to be there for each and every one of us. But we have to rise above it and not give in to it. So then, of course, Judah had went and betrayed Joshua. Drop down to verse 54. And they seized him and led him away and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter brought him. But Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the court and he had sat down together, Peter sat in the middle of them. And a certain maid, seeing him as he sat in the light of the fire and looked steadfastly upon him, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after the space of about 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I know not what you say." And immediately while he yet spoke, the cock crowed. And the teacher turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the teacher, how that he said to him before the cock crowed, "This day you shall deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Peter wept bitterly. Because he denied Yahshua. Matthew chapter 10. Have we denied Yahshua, brother? Have we denied our Savior? Matthew chapter 10, verse 24. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his teacher and the servant as his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak you in the light. And what you hear in the ear, proclaim upon the housetop. And be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them shall fall on the ground without your Father. Yahweh has everything under control, brethren. He knows. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, who is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, who is in heaven. Do you think Yahshua's going to deny Peter? Peter did deny Yahshua. Verse 34. Think not that I came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man at variance against his father, and against his the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that does not take his burden and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it, but he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. He that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. He that receives the prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever shall give to drink to one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, truly I say to you that he shall certainly not lose his reward. First Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Ziph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives, the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city year to year to worship and to sacrifice the Yahweh of hosts in Shiloh. And there the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, priests of Yahweh, were there. Now go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 12. We know the story. Hannah was barren and needed, and she was very upset that she had no children. So she was there to pray to Yahweh that bless her with children. And she made a covenant with Yahweh, and Yahweh blessed her. And her son was dedicated to Yahweh, and that was Samuel. Verse 12, it says, now the sons of Eli were base men. They did not know Yahweh, but they were priests under their father Eli. But they did not know Yahweh. And there are many out there today who are priests who do not know Yahweh. And the custom of the priests with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest servants came while the flesh was boiling, and with the flesh took hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or the kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites that came there. So all the Israelites that came to make their offering, these priests took their portion. Yes, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, and he will not have boiled flesh of you, but raw. So, you know, this is contrary to what the law of Yahweh teaches in Deuteronomy 12. And if a man say to him, they will surely burn the fat first, and then take as much as your soul desires, but he would say, no, but you shall give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. And the sin of the young men was very great before Yahweh, for the men despised the offering of Yahweh. So they blasphemed Yahweh because they would not, as priests of Yahweh, adhere to the law that they were supposed to be upholding. Verse 18, it says, but Samuel ministered before Yahweh, being a child, clothed with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little robe and brought it to him from year to year, and she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, "May Yahweh give you seed of this woman for the petition which was asked of Yahweh." And they went to their own home. And Yahweh visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before Yahweh. Now Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons did to all Israel, and how that they lay with the women that did service at the door of the tent of meeting. In other words, they did what the Gentiles were doing. They corrupted the worship of Yahweh. And he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my son, for it is no good report that I hear. You make Yahweh's people to transgress. If one man sins against another, Elohim shall judge him. But if a man sins against Yahweh, who shall pray for him?" However, they did not listen to the voice of their father, because it was Yahweh's will to put them to death. And the child Samuel grew on and increased in favor, both with Yahweh and also with men. There came a man of Elohim to Eli and said to him, "In this manner, says Yahweh, did I reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt, in bondage, the Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honor your sons above me?" So Eli had a problem. He honored his sons by not putting them out, getting rid of them. "To make yourselves fat with the foremost of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Therefore, Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, says, I indeed that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now, Yahweh says, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, and there shall not be an old man in your house, and you shall behold the affliction of my habitation, and all the wealth which Elohim shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in your house forever. And the man of yours, whom I shall not cut off from my altar, shall be to consume your eyes and to grieve your heart, and all the increase of your house shall die and the flower of their age." They're not going to live a long life, which Yahweh promises to those that worship, that come to him. "And this shall be the sign to you that shall come on you, your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever." And he was talking about Samuel. "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left in your house shall come and bow down to him for a piece of silver and a loaf of bread, and shall say, 'Put me, I pray you, into one of the priest's offices that I may eat a morsel of bread.'" I'm going to continue this in 1 Samuel chapter 3, down to verse 14, 1 to 14. "And the child Samuel ministered to Yahweh before Eli, and the word of Yahweh was precious in those days. There was no frequent vision In other words, for people to receive a blessing or to hear the word of Yahweh, they had to come before Samuel. But it was, like I said, very precious in those days. It wasn't something that they received often. But it came to pass at that time when Eli had laid down in his place, now his eyes had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, and the lamp of Elohim had not yet gone out. And Samuel was laid down to sleep in the temple of Yahweh, where the ark of Elohim was, that Yahweh called Samuel and said, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And Yahweh called Samuel yet again. And Samuel rose and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know Yahweh. Neither was the word of Yahweh yet revealed to him. But see, Samuel was the one that was going to walk before, in verse 35, Almighty Yahweh. And the people were going to come to him. He was the faithful priest that they were going to come to. And he did lead Yahweh's people out by the word of Yahweh. In verse 8, and Yahweh called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And Eli perceived that Yahweh had called the child. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, then you shall say, 'Speak, Yahweh, for your servant hears.'" And brethren, each one of us should be saying, "Speak, Yahweh, for your servant hears," because we have attuned ourselves to Yahweh's word. We want to know what Yahweh has in store for each one of us. We want to follow what Yahweh has prepared for each one of us. And Yahweh came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." And Yahweh said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that hears it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house, from the beginning even to the end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves." And we can't do that, brother. And he did not restrain them. So when we see our children going astray or doing things that are contrary to Yahweh's laws, we have to bring it to their attention so that we won't be guilty like Eli. See, and this is a problem for a lot of leaders. We saw it back in our former affiliation too. You know, it's very difficult when your family is held above Yahweh. Because when that happens, judgment falls. And that's what happened to the house of Eli. Judgment fell. "And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for with sacrifice or offering forever." See, so there was no forgiveness there, because he did not restrain, as it says in the word. Luke chapter 6. Joshua was our example, but in Luke chapter 6, verse 27, this is the golden rule. "But I say to you that hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you. To him that strikes you on the one cheek, offer also the other. And for him that takes away your cloak, withhold not your coat also. Give to everyone that asks you, and of him that takes away your goods, ask them not again, as you would that men should do to you, and do you also to them likewise. Verse 32, and if you love them that love you, what thanks have you? For even sinners love those that love them. And if you do good to them that do good to you, what thanks have you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thanks have you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive again as much. But love your enemies and do them good, and lend, never despairing, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be sons of the Most High. For he is kind toward the unthankful and evil. Be you merciful, even as your Father is merciful, and judge not, and you shall not be judged, and condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Release, and you shall be released, and give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they give into your bosom. For what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you again. So if we don't forgive, brethren, we're not going to be forgiven. Just that simple. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Now there went with him a great multitude, and he turned and said to them, if any man comes to me and hates not his own father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now we always read this, love less. He doesn't mean hate, but it's, you know, he has to put Yahweh first. Yahweh has to be first. If any man comes to me and loves less, not his own father, mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yes, and his own life also. So our own life, we have to put behind our love for Almighty Yahweh and Yahshua. He cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own burden and come after me cannot be my disciple. But which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has with which to complete it? Lest perhaps when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all that behold begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, as he goes to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an embassy and asks conditions of peace. So therefore, whoever he is of you who renounces not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Salt, therefore, is good, but if even the salt has lost its flavor, with what shall it be seasoned? It is fit neither for the land nor for the dunghill. Men cast it out. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Brethren, Peter was one of Yahshua's top disciples, apostles. He is the one that told Peter. Yahshua told Peter and John to tend his sheep, to feed his lamb. And that's why YPTC got its marching orders, or this is why we got started. We wanted to continue feeding Yahshua's sheep because we saw in our former affiliation that they stopped feeding the sheep. And they just started condemning and starting to become very pharisaical. Turn to 1 Peter for our closing passage. 1 Peter chapter 5. Because, you know, we saw what Peter did. He did deny Yahshua. But, you know, He changed his life. He repented. In 1 Peter 5, verse 1, it says, "The elders therefore among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of the Messiah, who am also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Tend the flock of Yahweh, which is among you, exercising the supervision, not of constraint, but willingly, according to the will of Yahweh, nor yet for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as despots over the charge allotted to you, but making yourselves examples to the flock." And I'm telling you, Yahshua gave us an example when he was dying, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We have to be just like Yahshua, and pretty much like Peter. Even though he did deny Yahshua, he did come back strong. "And when the chief shepherd shall be manifested, you shall receive the crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, be subject to the elder. Yes, all of you, girding yourselves with humility, to serve one another, for Yahweh resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yahweh, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you." Brethren, he does care for each and every one of us. "Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom will stand steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. And the Elohim of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory in the Messiah, after that you have suffered a little while, shall himself perfect." Yahshua is going to perfect us. Establish. He's going to establish us and strengthen. He's going to strengthen each and every one of us. "To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Savannah, our faithful brother, as I account him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of Yahweh. Stand fast in it," in Yahweh's grace that he's given you. "Stand fast in it. She that is in Babylon, elect together with you, salute you. And so does Mark, my son. Salute one another with a kiss of love. Peace be to you all that are in the Messiah." So he's talking to each and every one of us that is still in the Messiah. He's wishing us peace. Peter was an example of how you overcome, because, like, you know, you saw in the scriptures, he denied Yahshua. Yahshua gave us an example in showing forgiveness to those who put him to death. Are we better than the Messiah, our Savior? No. Eli put his sons above Yahweh and not controlling them, even though they were adults. This had to happen as they were growing up. They had been given special favors, I'm sure, because the arrogant attitude that they had when they became adults, and they did not know Yahweh, so Yahweh put them to death. But Peter showed he loved Yahweh even after his denial of Yahshua. Peter had to flee from Jerusalem to save his life, but tradition shows that he gave his life to Yahshua later in Rome. The key, brethren, is forgiveness. We may have denied Yahshua in our ignorance, so let's serve him with the zeal of Yahweh, forgiving everyone that has sinned against us. And may Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you show forgiveness. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Willie McKelvey if he would close with a word of prayer.
Sure, Bob. Well, Yahweh, we pause on this have a day to give you thanks and praise for all things. Therefore, that you continue to bless my PTC. That's the brother next. together every week, Father, to hear your word. Father, strengthen us and keep us united. Help us, Father, to always be able to forgive. Without forgiveness, Father, we cannot be forgiven. Bless and strengthen us. Most of all, Father, keep us mindful of your covenant and your laws. We ask, Father, that you bless this day, bless your people where we are together. In your name, we give you thanks for all things.
Hallelujah.